You ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Niche Website Builder podcast and YouTube channel. This week I have an awesome guest with me. His name is Yao Yao, and he's an affiliate marketer. And he also runs an affiliate marketing newsletter. It's called Niche Surfer. In there, he curates the week's SEO news or news that's related to affiliate marketers specifically. So it's really cool if you're in this industry, if you're in this game. And he doesn't just curate it and give you a list of topics to go and read, but actually puts his own spin on them and gives you his own take, which I think is really cool. In this episode, we talk through a couple of different things. We cover his background aside from affiliate marketing, which is quite interesting. Spoiler alert, it's acting. He did some acting prior to getting into this industry. We then talk about two of his websites. He's only had these for around 7 months, but he's managed to take them from essentially very little revenue, about $100, to over $10,000 in December. So he's done really, really well to grow these sites so quickly. We get into how he's done that and how he approaches those websites. And then we also talk about his experience working with an expired domain and basically all of the mistakes that he made and that he wouldn't make again if he was to do it all again today. So that's really interesting, especially for me personally, as I love working with expired domains. I also just want to apologize. Around 3/4 of the way through this interview, I experienced some technical issues with my camera and I had to switch to my laptop camera. So the quality there isn't quite as great as it is with my normal camera. So I apologize about that. Anyway, let's get into it this week. Here we go.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Niche Website Builder podcast and YouTube channel. I'm your host, Adam Smith, and I've got an awesome guest on today's show for you. His name is Yao Yao. He runs an awesome newsletter. The newsletter is called Niche Surfer. It's a relatively new newsletter. There's only been 12 episodes so far, but I'm a massive fan. The content he puts out is great. He basically runs through like industry news, but doesn't just list it. He talks about his take on it and adds his insights and spin. He also talks about his own projects and his own case studies, which we'll talk a little bit more about later on, but they're incredible. The growth he's achieved has just been phenomenal. So I just want to introduce today's guest. Tell us a little about yourself. Tell us about your background. And before we get into all the internet marketing stuff, you've got a really interesting background. So tell us about you and your life before you got involved in internet marketing.
Yeah, so thanks for the great intro, Adam. I really appreciate it. And thanks for the kind words on the newsletter. My name's Yaya. I grew up in the States on the East Coast and originally from Taiwan, and that's actually where I am now. I have a very techie background. You know, I grew up, you know, building websites when, you know, collecting AOL CDs back when they were really popular. I don't know if you have that in the UK, but in the US, you know, you buy magazines and they would come with those AOL CDs, you know, just so you can get on the internet, like 33 hours a month and everything. And then, you know, so I went to school, I went to college wanting to do computer science and everything. And then I actually caught the acting bug for film acting. And so when I graduated, I moved out to LA to pursue acting, entertainment industry and everything. And so that's what I've been doing for the last about 20 years, the entertainment industry, for the most part, you know. And then, you know, as a struggling actor back way back when, I also had part-time gigs doing as a working with startups and software companies. And then I would still, you know, dabble in building websites and everything, just because I love the tech side of things and love programming and doing all that. Fast forward to the whole online businesses and everything and affiliate sites. A couple of years ago, I started getting into the whole, do the whole 9-to-5er, you know? I was developing and producing, films and things like that. And it wasn't like a traditional 9-to-5, it was actually a lot of long hours. And then with kids and everything, you know, and starting to have family and everything, I wanted to spend more time at home with them. And so that's when I started looking at starting something up myself and starting an online business where I could spend a lot more time on at home with them, with the family. And so that's when I started looking into online businesses and actually my first foray into trying to make money online is with dropshipping. So I was doing dropshipping sites and I eventually got one that was breaking even, making a little bit of profit. I basically, create Facebook ads and then, you know, have people click to my Shopify store and purchase the products that I was selling. And it was all great until Facebook decided to close my ad accounts. They screwed me over and I just wasn't able to, you know, they didn't just close my Facebook ad account. They actually disabled my whole account. The personal account, Facebook account that I've had for 25 years, whenever, you know, Facebook started expanding into different colleges, because it was still in school back around then. I basically tried to get my Facebook account back and I just wasn't able to at all. And so I had to, you know, look elsewhere. And that's when I started looking into affiliate sites and blogging. And, I created a blog and it just didn't go anywhere because it was wrong niche, very competitive niche. It was like, it was in the personal development niche. I can talk about that, sure. And I wrote a bunch of articles myself and it just wasn't going anywhere just because it was too competitive. I wasn't optimizing the content. I wasn't doing any SEO. I was just like, all right, if I write it, they will come, right? That's the whole idea starting out. But it didn't turn out that way. And then so I started, reading a lot more about from other bloggers and watching YouTube videos. YouTube is a great resource, man. And then that's how I just eventually just started, learning more about building these affiliate sites and everything. And it's where I am now, so lots of great info out there. But that brings you up to speed as quick as possible, I think, to where I am now.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that was great. I appreciate you sharing that with us. I remember you mentioned like the AOL CDs. I remember back for my 13th birthday, I actually had dial-up internet. So that was my birthday present. I actually asked for the internet for my 13th birthday, which looking back, was probably a little bit geeky, but at the time, I thought it was amazing.
I mean, we all had dial-up back then, you know? I don't know how old you are, but, you know, I figure we're close enough in age that, you know, we were doing the modems, the 56K, you know, modems, right? Getting online. And then just sitting there waiting for any image to load, you know?
And also, like, you couldn't use the phone line. I always remember my mother shout, like, I'd be playing, I used to be a big Black Hawk Down game fan. Like, I'd play Black Hawk Down online, and it was terrible because the internet was so rubbish. Like, you would be glitching all the time and stuff. But my mother would always shout up, like, get off the internet. Your auntie's trying to call. And like, you couldn't be on the phone and on the internet at the same time because he used the phone line.
Well, my parents actually eventually, because I was on the internet so much, my parents eventually got a whole nother phone line.
That's one way around it, yeah.
I guess they got tired of telling me to get off the phone, get off the internet.
Well, yeah, I think lots of our readers can relate to why you wanted to get involved in online marketing, to escape that whole 9-to-5, to spend some time with it, more time with their family. And it's becoming more and more normal these days, I think, especially around like the pandemic, people spending more time at home. Like, I've seen a ton more people want to get involved in online. And you mentioned, you know, you'd had some success, early success with dropshipping. It seems to be that two ways, right? Either you go the dropshipping way and try and figure that out, or you go the affiliate marketing or content route and try and figure that out. So it sounds like you've done a bit of both.
Yeah, and with that experience, I guess, and that little drop of e-commerce, I guess you could say, I've started getting a lot, you know, started thinking a lot more about these affiliate sites and what I can do, you know, down the road with them.
Yeah.
You know, and try to wrap in e-commerce.
Would you ever go back to the dropshipping stuff?
Well, that's what's interesting is, you know, the last couple of weeks I've actually been thinking a lot, like with the sites that I have, there are possibilities to do dropshipping. Right. Or I could do Amazon FBA if I wanted to go that route as well. And, you know, really hopefully multiply that income every month. And, you know, basically I would be driving people to the dropshipping store or the e-commerce store or,
yes,
you know, so it's a thought, but it's a, you know, it's also, the more I think about it, the more complicated it is in the sense that I'm a one-man, you know, shop here. So that's another thing is I'm looking to probably bring on VA or at least to offload some of this stuff.
Yeah, I saw that you were looking for a VA. I think that's really wise. In doing that, you can still maintain control of the overall strategy, but you don't have to do the day-to-day.
Yeah.
Or the stuff that sucks up your time, but it's not the valuable stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's really wise. That'll really help you scale.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to get some tips from you on how to find the good ones. Because I know you have a lot of people with you guys at Niche Website Builders.
Yeah. We've grown an incredible amount over the last 12 months. We're only 12 months old, as you probably know. But yeah, the growth has been insane. So yeah, I mean, we can talk about this afterwards.
Yeah.
It's probably a whole nother episode on its own about how to scale teams and how to find the right talent and things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So I mean, what I really want to get into today is your three websites. So your three case study websites, I should say. So site number one and number two, you bought them, pre-existing websites, and then you've spent the last couple of months improving them vastly. And then you've got site number three, which was built on an expired domain. You built that yourself, and we'll get into that a little bit later on because I think there's some interesting stories there that you can share. But tell us about site number one and two, because the growth has just been incredible. I really take my hat off to you. I don't know how you've done this. But yeah, before we get into the numbers, just tell us a little bit about these sites, where you got them from, like just a general overview.
So yeah, so site one, I got on motioninvest.com. So Spencer Hawes's and John Gillum's, you know, marketplace. Bought the site there. And then this was all, they were both at the same time, actually, sites one and two. Site two, I bought on Facebook, in a Facebook group. I think it's the Flipping Websites. I think it's the Flipping Websites, or it might be Niche Website Build Flippers, one of those.
Okay.
And so the first one already had some money. It was making like around $20 or so a month. And it had, it had like a thousand visitors, I think it had. The second one had a lot less. It didn't have any revenue. It had like 9 posts on it. It had a few hundred, 500-600 maybe visitors per month. And I'm not even sure of how real those visitors were. But it was an interesting niche. It was like a micro niche. It is a micro niche.
Yeah.
Site one is a bigger niche. It was product focused. So both of the sites I got around the same time, actually. It was the end of May, beginning of June when I started to look at sites because I wanted to get out of the sandbox, right? And so I was negotiating the one on Niche Website Builders. That's you guys. I was in the Facebook group, the Niche Website Flippers Facebook group. And I was negotiating on that one and ended up paying $554. And, in trying to close that sale, he was like, well, I've got two other sites. They're really new and they're just starting out. And one was on a expired domain. You want it? I'm like, I'll throw it in if you buy it right now for $550. I was like, okay, what is it? I looked at it and it was really bad. But I was just like, all right, whatever. The one that he wanted to give me in the end. And so I was just like, all right, $2,450. And then I was having trouble paying for it. I wasn't having trouble paying for it. He was having trouble receiving it because of where he was located.
Okay.
So we couldn't.
Were you using like pay in euros or something like that?
Well, he was in Pakistan. So it was, I wanted to do escrow, right? Escrow.com. And then we went, I tried paying a couple times. In the end, he wasn't able to receive it in his, currency, I guess. So we tried, PayPal was out of the question too, as well, because of the currency. We ended up doing TransferWise. And it just took like a bunch of days. It took many days to get there. Eventually, because we would go back and forth and he would go talk to support on these different platforms and everything, trying to figure out why he can't receive the money. And so during that time, then the other site had come up and, I was like, all right, well, I had missed out on a couple other Motion Invest sites because I was too slow. I was actually doing due diligence on them, which isn't a bad thing, of course, but it was when this site came up, I was like, all right, I'm going to do a real fast version of due diligence, which meant just looking at it and putting it into Ahrefs and Semrush at the time. And just looking at the keywords, I was like, all right, cool. Well, let's just buy it. So I just purchased it right away. That was a couple thousand. And I, looking back on it, obviously I vastly overpaid for it. If it was only making $20 a month, a couple thousand, what is that, 100x multiple? But it was, obviously it's worked out in the end, right? And so those were how I made those. That's how I acquired those two sites.
Sometimes on Motion Invest, I see those sites come up and they go so quick. Yeah. I even wonder if people even looked at them.
I think the cheap ones, they just don't look at them. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how they check so fast.
Well, I think it's the, for me at least, I don't know about everyone else. For me it was the fact that it was, started by Spencer Hawes and John. And so it was that, even if they weren't the ones who were looking at the sites, it was vetted by their team at least. Kind of thing, and they were the ones who also purchased it. So at this time, they didn't have the actual open marketplace yet.
So it was different.
It was just theirs that they had purchased and they were selling themselves. They were turning around and selling. What they did in the middle, I don't know. But that's why I just went like, all right, well, it's vetted by the Motion Invest team and they did what they did to it before they were, you know, put it on the market. And so I was like, all right, just buy.
Okay. And when you looked at these sites, was there anything in particular that you thought there's quick wins here if I do X, Y, Z, these are really quick wins, or did that play into the decision to buy these sites, or did you just look at them and thought these are interesting niches, I can really do something with this? Was there that kind of level of planning involved, or did you just think, well, these look great, I'm just going to grab them and see what I can do?
Yeah, well, the first one, I had looked at it and you know, the way they were going about their keyword research and their articles, I was like, oh, there's so much room to grow if I just continued on the way they did their keyword research. And then I also saw that they weren't doing any internal linking. So all at the time, I forget how many pages it was, 25 to 29 pages, they were all orphans. So I was like, all right, interlinking, right? That was huge. And then with site two, 9 articles, they were just so poorly written. But they were ranking in the 40s to 80s or 90s for their keywords for the articles. But I was like, all right, well, I know nothing about the niche, but I can fix the English. And then that was the main thing I did, fix the English. It took me a long time. And I really didn't put much energy into it at all. I think I optimized, fixed 2 posts in the first 2 months. Just because I was putting all my time into the first site, right? Because I was like, all right, well, I paid more for it.
Yeah.
So I gotta pay more attention to that one.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's easier to actually rewrite the post than even try to go back and edit it sometimes, I think.
Well, that's what I actually ended up doing. And that's why I was that's why it took me so long. I pretty much rewrote everything. And then the other thing was because I wasn't quite sure if those edits and cleanups would actually do anything for the site, right? Was it too far gone in terms of Google's eyes with the you know, English and the bad content and everything. And I think for me, it was just like, I do remember looking back in those first couple of months, I was like, how did I end up like agreeing to purchase this, you know? Because it was so bad. And I was spending so much hours and hours and days on trying to, you know, rewrite this content and optimize it. And if I had known something about the niche, it would have been a lot easier. But because I did it, I actually had to do everything from scratch and you know, a real beginner. And in the end, you know, I was just like, I know what I did. I was naive and I was just really excited, right? And gung ho to purchase a site and try to, you know, get things going fast, right? It was all about speed. Go, 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 you know? I want that money. Yeah. And I won't do it again, probably, I hope. But you know, it's just I just didn't know enough at that time to really vet a site. Those were the main things. I just didn't know enough, you know.
Makes sense.
But you know, I had to learn fast.
Learn fast and like you say, you probably won't do that again. You might do it again, but you probably won't do that again. It's good learning experience.
I still might, who knows?
Who knows? I mean, I've done it plenty of times, so you definitely probably will.
Yeah.
So the numbers, these sites are now, you've owned them for about 7 months, is that right?
Yeah, I am on month 8 now.
Month 8. And the numbers, so when you bought these sites, the two of them combined were making less than $100 a month. in December, your December income report, which again is in your newsletter, which you send out. So definitely go check it out. We'll put where you can sign up, so it's in the show notes below, but I highly recommend it. But your December income report was, these sites combined made over $10,000, right? It was your first five-figure month.
It was actually November was my first five-figure month with the combined. It was December was my first five-figure profit.
Yes.
And so that was exciting. It's just a lot of luck and a lot of hard work, you know, just because it was the holidays, Black Friday and Christmas holidays and everything.
How's January going so far? Is it kind of sticking on pace, or are you seeing a big
dip? not at all. A big dip. Like 60 on pace for about 60%, 70% of what December was. So
amazing. I mean, I just want to appreciate the fact again, in 7 months, you've taken two sites from pretty much nothing to, even in January, if it's 60 or 70%, 6 or 7 thousand a month. That's incredible. A broad question. How have you done this?
a lot of long hours and a lot of work. You know what, I feel that the biggest things that that I did were the content optimizations. One was making sure the content, the articles were way better than anything else that was out there. And you know, and the on-page SEO, internal linking, you know, when I got that first site, I immediately got Link Whisper. And you know, I was like, all right, well, you know, it's the same guy, right? Spencer Hawes. And I was like, all right, did the internal linking, linked them all. I just did it very haphazardly too. And I was just like, all right, well, this one mentions this. Okay, let's interlink them, right? Wherever the recommendations were. I didn't think about any sort of linking structure or any strategy or anything, you know? So I just linked everything. And I remember I was like, a couple weeks later, everything was going down, you know? I was like, uh-oh, what did I do? I screwed something up. And then a couple weeks later, again, it started building back up, you know, slowly. And so it's just one of those things where it's just because of that change, I guess, that Google would you know, not know what to do with it and have to reanalyze the site a little bit, right? Because it was all of a sudden I was throwing all these links in there, internal links. And then also I changed some things around in terms of the design as well. And so I was trying to build, you know, EAT on it. And okay. So, you know, creating a persona and all that stuff. And then I remember I was playing around with the about and contact page. You know how usually you put in the header, you put about and contact, you know, in the top menu of the site. I actually, it was like, I think I saw somewhere, someone's blog post or something, or someone mentioned it on Facebook. I was like, all right, well, let me try that out. I moved it down to the footer, you know, to try to keep the important stuff at the top. And that immediately, just within 2 days, it sank everything for some reason. Okay. And I was like, uh-oh, well, that was bad. So I moved it right back up to the menu. And then the next day, it was all good again.
Well, that's crazy.
So I don't know what. It's so weird. I've never heard that before either. And then I was just like, all right, well, I won't do that again. It's just that's what, you know, in building these sites and trying to grow them, it's all trial and error. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing I did was also the site one I purchased, it was a exact match domain. And then within August, beginning of August, so this was, you know, less than 2 months after I purchased the site, I was like, all right, I don't want to write about this one niche. I wanted to create something more something larger, right? And something more brandable, go into a brandable domain. And it was actually, you know, creating a brand, obviously, you know that it can really help your site if you want to create like an authority site and everything. Just help it with users and visitors who go. So that's what I eventually did. It was the beginning of August when I did that. So okay. Less than 2 months from getting that site.
Do you think that's had a big impact? Because I know the visitors went from, you know, I think it was 12,000 sessions to 65,000 sessions in October to November. Do you think that was to do with the redirect, or do you think it was on that trajectory anyway?
I think it was hopefully. I like to say it was on that trajectory. Because I can't imagine that because it was a brand new domain too. So it wasn't like an expired domain or anything. It was just brand new domain, never used. 301 redirected it. I built two links to the site, to the EMD domain.
Yeah.
And in doing the transfer, one actually didn't transfer over for some reason. It's long gone now. So I don't think it would have helped, in transferring to a new brandable domain, because the domain was actually, that EMD domain was actually pretty clean.
Okay.
There were any spammy links. There were, you know, really no links going to it.
Yeah.
And so I think it was just, I went balls out on content, writing content. I think that by the time I'd gotten to when I hit 10,000 visitors, I think that was October or so. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was October. That was what I had already hit 80 posts from 20 something. So I'd thrown up a lot of posts, and I wrote a lot, and then I also started outsourcing as well as I started generating some revenue.
Yeah.
And so. You know, I think it was a lot of the content, a lot of, you know, finding keywords, low competition keywords.
Yeah.
And that was around the same time, actually. I think I started with Niche Website Builders and the Shotgun Skyscraper at the same time, actually.
Yes.
So that definitely helped, because I think we started September. Was the month September was when things were, when the article was written, the Shotgun article was written.
Yep.
And then October is when links were starting to get built.
So
November was like the big run up with Black Friday as well, with the holidays. So I think it just all just converged together, you know, with all those links and then the content finally, you know, started ranking and everything. And so.
I actually saw something in the wild this week which was kind of crazy to do with 301 redirects, and it was a site that had been hit in the May Google update. So this site had taken a massive beating in the May update, gone from in Ahrefs, gone from like 5,000-6,000 visitors a month down to literally like 200-300. And then I noticed that they'd done a 301 redirect to a brand new fresh domain. It wasn't an expired domain or anything. And then the traffic returned very quickly back to those sort of 5,000-6,000 visitors per month. So I started digging in, and I was like, how have they done this? What have they done? Is it simply just a, you know, page-to-page 301 redirect? And that's what they did. I mean, they must have been involved in some shady stuff prior on the old domain, because they had.
Yeah.
It had like sponsorship posts, a page all about sponsorship, you know, that sponsorship type link building where you'd run a sponsorship and try and get the universities to link back to you. But they had that page, and it really surprised me. They moved that page over to the new domain, and they redirected that as well. So they literally redirected everything, and very quickly the traffic went back. So I need to do some more digging and actually some more testing on that, because I think I don't know what's going on there.
Well,
it can't be as simple as just 301 redirecting site and the traffic returns, surely.
I don't know if you've seen this. Matt Deedy has an article, and this is where Site 3 comes into play as well, actually. The Site 3 that I started. because he has an article where it says, I think if you redirect it 301 it twice, you don't have, if on a penalized site, if you redirect it twice, it'll fix your penalties, and your eventual domain won't be penalized. Like the penalties don't carry over. So I don't know if that actually helps. I'm not even sure if that's, because that article is like 2-3 years old as well.
Was this one of the articles?
That's a century old in CSGO. Yeah.
Was this one of the posts where he was talking about how he tested like PBNs and stuff?
No, I think it's a different one then.
Okay. After that, I'll figure that out.
Yeah, I don't think he mentioned PBNs in that article. I think it was just straight up, this is how I got rid of a penalty on a domain by redirecting it twice.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, that's what I did with site three, because on site three, I purchased that expired domain.
Yeah.
Because it was like a four-letter domain, and I was like, even though it was a .co, I was like, all right, this is awesome. It's got thousands and thousands of links and referring domains to it, you know. And this is when I really didn't know anything. You know, it's like all these links, awesome. Yeah. I purchased it. I outsourced some articles, put up like, and then I wrote some myself, and I put up, you know, like 10 articles, and then crickets, nothing, right? Google wasn't indexing it or anything, and I was like, huh, what's going on? And then I started looking into expired domains and learning more about it, and learning more about backlinks and everything, and just realized, oh, so not good to have tens of thousands of Ukrainian, you know, links, you know, backlinks going to this site, unless I was creating like a Ukrainian, you know, blog.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. And that's when I found Matt Dingley's article, and I was like, all right, well, I don't want to redirect it twice. I'll just do it one time and see.
Yeah.
And so I did it. I put the rest of the articles up there. I think there are like 29 articles on there. And I just let it sit, and I haven't touched them. And you know, now they're starting to rank. There's a few articles that are with keywords in the top five now, and you know, starting to get some sales. Yeah. And so we'll see what happens with it. I need to. On my to-do list is go in and optimize all the content again. Because it's been, I started that end of May. And then I redirected, and in fact, it was all three sites were around the same time. So it's really interesting to see how they've grown. And it wasn't until mid-June when I got everything up, I think, on site three.
Yeah.
And, you know, the traffic is only like 600, 700 now, something like that, you know, per month.
Yeah.
In terms of visitors.
The expired domain you bought, did it have any relevance to the site that you've now created, or was it totally irrelevant? Like,
yeah, it was a partial match domain. It was the history of that site as well was also in the same exact niche. It was a much bigger site. It had like, I don't know, over, it had a few thousand pages, actually. So but it wasn't like an affiliate site or anything like that. It was like a big, it was a big marketplace kind of, not e-commerce, but you know, that sort of like scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a bunch of products and everything. So it was in the same exact niche. And so that's why I was also buying. And, you know, because it was only four letters with the .co, it's a premium domain. So it was like $116 or something, $110 I had to pay for it.
I saw that. Yeah. It's almost like a shop when it came through.
Yeah. So again, this is where the same thing where I was saying earlier, I was like, I just wanted to get going. Okay, I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah. I don't care what it costs.
Regret it now, but definitely won't do it again.
So
that I won't do.
The other thing I want to touch on, so we've kind of talked about Site 1 and how it's doing so well and Site 3, but Site 2, it's obviously doing very well. But where I see it's doing extremely well is actually converting the users that it gets. So in terms of the number of sessions that you get every month and the revenue that it brings in from Amazon, I always do a little calculation on how much revenue per session that's driving. And your site there is driving like 22 cents per session, which is extremely high. I actually went through and calculated from my own portfolio across the average. Mine's 8. So I don't know what you were doing differently, or I don't know what I'm doing wrong, essentially. I want to know how to get those sweet 22 numbers, basically. How are you doing that?
I think it just has to do with the niche and the growing trend of it. It's just a niche that's on the uptrend, you know? That was actually one of the things I looked at, because I didn't know anything about the niche when I purchased the site. You know, I looked it up on Google Trends and saw that it was actually growing, you know. Same thing with Site 3. That's why I was all gung-ho about Site 3 and purchasing that expired domain, because both of those niches were on the uptrend. And so that's why I went after those. And I think that the people in Site 2, that niche, they're big enthusiasts of that niche.
Okay. Right?
So they're very gung-ho about, you know, making sure that they have what they need in terms of equipment and products and the instructions and how-tos and all that stuff. So that was where I just kind of lucked out, you know, with that niche.
Yeah.
And I know I need to put a lot more effort into it. And there's just, but I find myself like having trouble, you know, having trouble to get motivated to write these articles, because they're really not, you know, will they really do anything? You know, I just don't know. Right. Like there's how many articles do I have now? 20 something articles. Mm-hmm. You know, and the traffic's like 13,000, 12,000. November was 10,000, December was 18,000. This month is at 10, almost 11,000 right now. So yeah, That'll probably hit 14,000, 15,000. You know, but
that's incredible.
The money that's there, the 22 cents that you, yeah, the money that's making is great, you know.
Yeah.
So I know that I need to put more effort into it, and just, I have the keyword research done. It's just
get it done.
I keep, for some reason, I keep doubting myself whether or not these articles are going to do anything, you know.
Yeah.
I did get one expert to, like last month, I did get one expert to write a whole bunch of these short informational kind of how-to articles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, really simple. And it's, you just banged them out. And, you know, I threw them all up there. And this is where, again, I'm testing things, because I'm testing structure, like silo structures on it, you know. Yeah. And, you know, they've been up for maybe a couple of weeks now. They're not getting hits. They're not really getting any search impressions. They're actually getting hits when people visit the site and then they click to that area because they want to learn more. So they're useful in that sense and keeping people on the site.
Yeah.
So that's good. But the RPMs or EPMV, however you want to calculate it, is horrible for those articles. they're like maybe a dollar.
Yeah.
A dollar per thousand.
Well, in comparison,
I mean,
in comparison to some of your other EMPVs, what was it?
Yeah.
December or was it November? One of your sites hit $70.
Yeah, it was probably November, because that was when I hit like 77,000 sessions or page views.
Yeah,
on site one.
$70 EPMV is just, wow, it's huge.
Insane. Yeah, it's just because the holidays and Black Friday, everyone wanted that everyone was going into that niche to look for stuff.
And you're using Zoic to monetize this, use display ads. What's your experience been like with Zoic? And I know you've just recently joined the Zoic Premium program. How are you finding that so far?
Zoic Premium is great. I've tried to see if the premium that they're paying is actually, well, so the regular EPMV level, right, the base level, and then Zoic breaks it out too, the base level and then the premium on top, right, if you're on the premium plan. I don't know if that base level is actually being lowered by them to basically show a higher premium number, because it was when I signed up for it, and it was like December 31st was the first day that I actually had any premium. I had premium on there.
Yeah.
And the base level dropped really hard. But then it's also the ad index is also dropping really hard as well, right? The ad revenue index that they have as well. So I don't know if it's, to give them the benefit of the doubt, I think it's just the general ad space, ad revenue space is dropping, right?
Yeah.
But the EPMVs that I'm getting overall are daily are actually meeting kind of close to what I was getting in during the holidays. So that's a good thing. Even though traffic is going down, the EPMV is not going down. It's kind of staying steady-ish. So if it, they're like, I think they're averaging like 55 or so far this month, 50, mm-hmm. 55 this month.
Yeah.
And so it's steady-ish to December. So it's helped in that respect.
How accurate is that prediction that they had on there, where they predict how much you're going to make in the next 30 days?
I will tell you when I hit 30 days.
It's been about 20 days now, right? Yeah. So
yeah. It's been about 20 days, and I think that it's hard. It's kind of hard to tell because the traffic hasn't been consistent, right? It's kind of like it's weekdays are kind of down, and then the weekends are up again, because it's a weekend. So it's kind of hard to tell, what it would have been, just because this site, both sites, has just been, they exploded in November, and then December is a slight decline, and then January just is dropped big time, like 30%, 40%. So it's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell because I don't have a good benchmark.
It's not like a baseline. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, but otherwise, it's still Zoic's been great.
We use them. We love them. We tell our clients to use them. I think it's a great network, and the team's great. Any problems, they're pretty on top of things, to be fair.
Yeah.
So one thing which I kind of, judging by what we've talked about so far, seems to be one of the main drivers of your success with these sites has been the content. And we know that content's important, but actually the keyword research behind it is probably even more important. And I know you've got this awesome guide on your website all about how you do the keyword research. You've got screenshots. You even show people what your it's the keyword plan, but also the content management plan. You combine them both into one. You even show people what that looks like. So I don't want to dive too much into how you do your keyword research, because people can just go and read that. Right? I could never do it justice, but just briefly, in a couple of sentences, how do you approach this research from a top level? How have you come up with these topics and are able to generate, thousands of dollars in revenue with, in reality, like quite low numbers of articles? Like site number two, you said, doesn't have many articles, but it's still doing fairly well in terms of revenue. So you're doing something right with the keyword research is what I'm trying to get at. What are you doing right there?
Well, so for site two, it's basically, I look at things as clusters now, right? Topic clusters, or you can call them silos, right? Mm-hmm. creating a pillar page and then, you know, creating all these supporting articles around it. And so with site one, with site two, it already had that. It already had the pillar page. Well, that those were the two of the main ones that I created in the first couple months I was talking about. And that's why it took me such a long time, because I knew they were the important pages. And then all these other pages that were, you know, would take me maybe a day to write or so, less than a day to write. Those were the supporting pages that all fed up into those two pages. Okay. So those two main pages that I did the first couple months are the main drivers of the site and the sales, right? Because those are the main products of this micro niche. And so now because of that, I guess, even though the DA, well, this month is, for some reason, it's blown up on the DR on Ahrefs is blown up for some reason.
Yeah, that's all over the place, isn't it? It's really up and down.
Yeah. Last month, it was like 6 or 8. And then all of a sudden, it's now like 20-something. Okay. You know, it's not like I built any links to it. I don't know what happened to it. It just blew up all of a sudden. Well, I did get one nofollow link from a 91 DR site. But it was a no follow.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have been able to push that out.
Yeah, so I didn't build that. But that's the only thing I can attribute to, you know, the DR exploding all of a sudden, or Ahrefs like changed the way they calculate things, right?
Yeah.
Which makes sense. So I built these two pages and all the supporting pages around it. And because those two pages are the main products for the this micro niche, and that's why those are the main drivers of all the sales and everything, as well as, you know, in doing keyword research and the article that you brought up, the keyword research, you know, and what I do for keyword research and how I just organize all my content, the content plus the keywords together on the same Google sheet is.
I apologize. I've been having some camera trouble. Something wrong with my camera. It keeps turning itself off mid-interview. So I've actually switched to my laptop camera. It's low quality, unfortunately, but you know, it's better to have this rather than no image of me. So we'll finish the interview with this. So apologies for the lower quality camera here. Sorry,
All good.
I've been interrupting you terribly through this with the camera.
No, not at all.
Edit all that out, but I just want to apologize.
Not at all. So for what was I saying? The a lot of the YouTubers talk about finding low competition keywords, you know, but they're all info articles, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the success in what I've done is that, you know, they're all buyer intent articles, and because, you know, you can, yes, Ezoic and display ads, you'll grow money. You can, you know, you need to drive traffic in order to, you know, get good revenues. Whereas with affiliate ads, you just need enough visitors to your site who want to learn more and who are on a, you know, who are ready to buy, who are ready to purchase, right? And they just need that one last article to put them over the edge, right? And say, this is what I'm going to buy. And that's why I put so much focus on what? I'm sorry?
The bottom of the funnel. So they've done the top.
The bottom of the funnel. Yes.
The top and the middle of the funnel. They've done their research.
Yep.
They just literally need to know what product they want to buy now.
Yep. And that's why I focus on all my articles. I try to focus as much as I can on making sure that I answer the questions that they might have about products or steps or whatever, and make sure that they are, you know, clicking when they get to the end, or even clicking somewhere in the middle, you know.
Yeah.
And then with the informational articles, I want to make sure I deliver as much information as I can, and that they're going to keep reading, right? And so that those display ad and the EPMBs, you know, go higher and higher, right?
Yeah.
That's why I say long nights and all that time optimizing content is just all I do. That's the biggest thing I think that's helped.
Do you think Do you think things are going to change slightly? Because since the December update, one of the things that we've noticed, and it's by no means you know, across the board, there are definitely sites which don't follow this pattern. One of the things we noticed were especially big affiliate websites, the ones that had the majority of their content focused towards commercial intent, you know, like Gear Hungry, or there's a couple of other big examples where pretty much all of their content is commercial, has commercial intent, and very little helpful informational intent. They were hit really hard, and I saw a couple of my own sites that were in the same boat actually got hit as well. Have you seen that with your own sites, or has that kind of changed your approach to content now?
I haven't seen that. Actually, I haven't, you know, knock on wood. I don't know if I really have seen it though, because yeah. I am keeping an eye on it, right? Because traffic is going down. So I'm wondering if it's more a, you know, post holidays kind of decline, right? Yeah. But I guess the good thing is that the positions, the rankings in Google Search Console are not going down. They're staying steady, right? So over the last couple months, so that's good in that sense. It just shows that less people are searching, and that's fine, right? That just means it's post holidays. And then I am tracking my keywords, and I'm getting actually just yesterday I started seeing a little bit of volatility in a couple of the popular articles on site two, you know, and it's kind of got me a little bit, what's going on here? Because one specifically, that article has been the top three. It jumps between one, two, and three, you know, over the last 3 months, I think it was, over the last two and a half months.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden yesterday it dropped out of the index. But today it's right back to number two. Yeah. So I've been actually seeing that once in a while, especially on new articles, right? You see that a lot where things are jumping in and out all the time of the index, out of the top 100. It doesn't drop out of the index, it just drops out of the top 100. At which point I don't know where it goes. You know, how low it goes.
It's a nomad, but, man. Google nomad. Yeah.
And then after a month or so, it'll settle in where it was, right?
Yeah.
But in the past month or so, I've also seen articles that, you know, that are probably 2.5 months, 3 months old, and they've steadily climbed up to in the top 10 now. So it has its little ups and downs, but then steadily climbs up. So I've seen those articles too as well. So it's difficult. I haven't seen probably what you're seeing then. So I don't know what it is. I've been thinking about the way I've done things anyways. I think site one is like 80% commercial, 20% informational. Site two, pre this last batch of 20 articles, those short informational ones I was talking about, it was all commercial. So I don't know, you know, I haven't seen any sort of decline, you know, knock on wood.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And then in site three actually is also 90% commercial. And that just climbs. That's been slowly climbing up.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we kind of wrap up, if you had to give, you know, five tips for people starting out, you know, if you had to start over again today, what would your top five tips be for either buying a site or growing a site? What would you tell yourself if you had to start again?
Learn as much as you can. Educate yourself. You know, educate, learn. Read.
What are your go-to resources to learn?
So I go on YouTube. You know, there are lots of guys on YouTube. Oh, I remember reading your articles, your blog posts on, yeah, I remember reading, because I love case studies, right? And that's one of the reasons I actually started my site, my newsletter, was because there wasn't anything that was focused on affiliate, you know, website builders, and people wanted to build web affiliate sites. And so there would be pockets of SEO experts. A lot of them were focused on local SEO, right? And yeah. So they don't always translate. There's a lot of that translates over, but not all, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are people who do other things. And so what I want to do is just try to, since I already go all over, whether it's Facebook or different blogs that I read, yeah. You know, Search Engine Journal, obviously, SEO Roundtable, you know, and Spencer Hawes and stuff. It's where Matt Daly, of course.
Well, I think the answer to that question probably is read your newsletter, because you're already doing a great job reading all of this.
Read my newsletter. I curate everything, right? So I spend so much time, you know, looking up for reading and watching and listening, that I basically curate all the good stuff, right? About 10 a week or so, and just put it out once a week, every Saturday, for you know, weekend reading for people.
For lazy people like me who don't go around all these places looking.
It's just like, it's hard, because I made so many mistakes, and if there was like a go-to source, right, would be awesome. Because I remember I read a lot of your stuff, and I was like, this is so cool, you know, like the growth that you were having with that homemade site, I think it was.
Yeah.
That was really cool, you know. I was talking to Spencer Hawes last week, and I was telling him, yeah, man, I remember watching when I was starting to learn about your stuff, you know, about, you know, affiliate sites and everything, niche sites. I remember watching his coaching calls, where he was helping this one woman, and then also his team also had another, you know, had another case study, you know, coaching calls and stuff like that. And so they just went from start to finish, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's very helpful. Just looking at what other people do, and it's not like you're trying to copy them exactly, but you're trying to inform yourself about how people are growing their sites, what they're trying, you know, so that, you know, you don't make mistakes like I did back then. Yeah. Right? Like if I had read, you know, your expired domain blog posts and learned more about expired domains, I wouldn't have purchased that.co. Yeah, and the site would actually probably be doing pretty well right now. It's a lot of, you know, just learn. But other than that, it's like going to action is the content optimizations, you know, optimizing your content, optimizing your on-page SEO, knowing what all that stuff is before you start going into building links, building external links, right? Get your internal link game down first, and then go worry about your external links, and then worry about your page speed, you know, your site speed, you know, even though come May, who knows, you know, how big of an effect that is. You know, I'm still waiting. My site speeds aren't that great, obviously, because of Ezoic ads and display ads, right? But I've spent so much time, and this is another one of my six, I spent so much time trying to optimize my page speeds, that I wasted a lot of content time, right, in putting out good content, you know, or you know, outreach, and mm-hmm. so I've kind of put all that on hold for now, waiting to see if someone smarter can figure out the site speed with display ads, because I know someone can hopefully figure it out, you know. I know I'm not the only one with that problem, and so there are lots of, you know, really smart people out there. Who can hopefully solve it, and then I'll just, you know, hopefully learn from them, you know, or pay for their services or something, to get my page speed up. And so while I focus on trying to, you know, grow the sites, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's just prioritizing, you know, your what you need to do, learning how to prioritize. Yeah.
That's great advice. Yeah, no, I think that's great. Basically, educate yourself, take action, and prioritize the stuff that's going to move the needle first over the stuff that's important, but it's not going to move the needle. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I really appreciate your time today, and I really appreciate talking to you. I think you've shared some awesome insights. If people wanted to find out more or contact you, where's the best place to get in touch?
Yeah, so the newsletter is nichesurfer.com. Or where I blog is where I share my income reports and keyword research tips and stuff like that is at yaya.com. So I keep them separate. It's just easier. Yeah.
We'll put links to those at the bottom, and I highly recommend anyone, you know, with any kind of interest to read your stuff, especially the keyword research guide. I think that's great. And to also sign up to the newsletter.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it. Thanks for being a guest. Take care. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See you.
Cheers.
Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.